Welcome to the Chris Saylor Show. I'm Jerry Price. I'm joined by Princeton women's lacrosse coach Chris Saylor. Coach, have you calmed down after last night?
Yeah, I think I have. I was actually able to sleep pretty well last night, which surprised me.
Slept a lot better than if things had gone the other way. And
that's for sure.
So it was a 13-11 win over Penn, and the word you used to describe it afterwards was gutsy, and that's a perfect word for it. My belief is that things, when you have games like that with teams that are pretty close, is that the small things are what always change it. And if you go back to the Dartmouth game, it was the ground ball that Kyla Sears picked up that led to the winning goal. Last night, it was the draw controls that Noni Anderson won. So
yeah,
to just set the stage for people if they didn't realize this, Princeton was called for 6 yellow cards in the last 8.5 minutes of the game, 3 of them, 2 overlapped by 97 seconds, and they all 3 of those were non-releasable. And yet came out of all of that being outscored 2-1 and got the winning goal down, one player down. But the key was Penn made it an 11-11 game 25 seconds after the second non-releasable yellow card. So now you're playing two people down for another, you know, 90-something seconds.
Yeah.
And Noni Anderson wins a very tough draw control. And on that possession, Princeton gets the winning goal.
Yeah, I really thought, I mean, down the stretch, she really made the plays of the game for us. Because when we got those non-releasable cards, and especially the two back-to-back, I mean, that's an incredibly tough situation to be in. And we had done really well with our man-down defense, you know, in the game. I think we were making it hard for them to find the openings.
You got enough practice doing it.
Yeah, well, isn't that the truth? But when you're two people down in your defensive unit, I mean, that's just a tough situation. And the fact that it was going to be non-releasable for 2 minutes, they could have piled up the goals at that point. And, you know, I really thought we had shot ourselves in the foot big time. But the kids really, really came through, and Noni in particular, to be able to win those critical, like you said, the last three critical draw controls.
7 for the game, but the last three. And so have you ever been in a situation like that where you've had overlapping non-releasable penalties?
Well, we've only had the non-releasable for a couple of years now. It used to be there was no difference. You could get as many yellow cards, and they were always releasable. And so I believe 2 years ago they put in the fourth, and subsequent ones would be non-releasable. So, no, we haven't been in that situation before that I recall.
So that's why they were non-releasable, because you had more than four
yes,
for the game?
Yes. Once you can have three, but once you hit the fourth one, they're non-releasable from that point on.
Okay, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so it's a safety thing so that games don't get out of hand, and that, you know, you're not having 6, 7, 8, 9 cards with no additional penalty.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's 6 and they're 2 minutes each and a couple overlap, but that's, you know, you're talking about playing close to 20% of the game down.
Yeah, Jerry, you're really starting off my morning really
but
in a
you
good
won,
way.
Is
no,
the point.
It's true. Yeah, we won. And it was kind of unbelievable that we won that game, given the situation that we were in, and being that it was, you know, at Penn and such a critical game, and
the crowd was into it.
The crowd was into it. I thought they had a great crowd. They had some good hecklers going from the start of the game on. So, you know, that's why I said it was just a totally gutsy win, and to score the man down goal, you know, when Kyla found George and George ripped it. Yeah, that was just
that was no doubt about it either.
Us.
That was like, yeah, that was a real statement being made on that shot.
Absolutely.
So let's go back through the game a bit. It's 4-1 Penn to start, but games often will start like that and turn relatively quickly. But what were you thinking in the that was 12 minutes in? What were you thinking at that point?
Well, we definitely had a slow start. I think you know, defensively, we weren't sharp in our game early. You know, we knew what they were looking for, and we were just a step slow to defend their inside cutters. We had ground ball opportunities in our 8-meter that we weren't winning, that we could have contested. And I think it was just we started out slow. We looked flat, and, you know, that's not the way you want to go into that game. But we did pick it up, and I thought our defense, especially in the second half, was phenomenal. And Sam Fish, our keeper, had an incredible second half. She struggled a little bit in the first half early on and just totally turned it around. They were shooting all their shots low, and, you know, we're like at halftime, Sam, where are they shooting? They're shooting low. Be ready for those shots. And she was phenomenal in the second half, and the D did a great job out in front of her and contested more for ground balls. Sam was winning ground balls, you know, behind the cage and really being a factor. And Coach Cook put in a rotating face guard on two of their top kids. So it was hard for them to really know who was going to be face guarded and how they were going to set up accordingly. I thought that was a brilliant move on her part. And it really did help turn the tide for us.
So we'll talk about some specific players, but Alex Argo seems to be playing pretty well right now.
Yeah, Argo has done well on the Rosenzweig sisters this year versus Loyola and now at Penn. I think her game as we move down the stretch is really continue to get stronger and stronger, and you know we can assign her that top low attacker, and her angles defensively are really good. She's just such a tough and competitive kid, and she and Noni both have really been really taken over that defense in the second part of our season.
And then Kyla Sears, 2 goals, 4 assists, made a lot of huge plays in that game.
She did. And so I think, you know, we're always trying to figure out, depending upon how our early looks are going and how their zone is playing our inside kids, where is going to be the best place to put our players. And, you know, sometimes for Kyla, that's inside. Sometimes for her, that's outside. And, you know, I think her game has just really developed this year with her ability to dodge from outside and to set her teammates up and, you know, be that distributor, be that feeder. She's really been that when we've needed her to be that. And, you know, she had 6 points in that game with, you know, she got pushed from behind and sprained her ankle pretty bad and came out, had it taped up and went back in and was running like nothing had happened to her. Tough kid.
I thought Katie Riley, when she came in that moment, sort of brought some energy and gave the team a bit of a lift.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's always good to see. And actually, she came in then, and she had come in before then a little bit earlier as well.
But, you know, she took the one shot that was pretty impressive how much she had mm-hmm. on it. Didn't, you mm-hmm. know, it was saved. But still, I thought, like...
Yeah, she can rip it from the outside. Like, her 8-meter shots are good, and the kid does bring some really good energy to the
which
team.
Which is exactly what you needed at that point.
Absolutely.
And then, was that Elizabeth George's best game?
You know, I really think that, you know, if you look at it, I think it was. I think when you step up and perform at that level on that stage in any game of that importance for our season, you have to say that's her best game. I think she was 6 for 10. She had a couple 8-meter shots I know she'd like to have back. But, you know, that's a great shooting percentage for her. And she was a kid who wanted the ball, and she didn't force it. You know, she took the looks that came to her and, you know, really led the team. And even when in the second half she was being face guarded and we actually pulled her out for a while and kind of held her at the 30 to open up more space inside in their zone, we were able to get some looks for different kids. She would find her times to, you know, to attack off of that and to cut, and one of those was in the man down scenario.
Did you think that your, you know, especially your captains, that's Elizabeth, Noni, and Argo, do you think they realized the situation? Seniors got to win this game to win the league.
Absolutely. I think they realized that situation. And, you know, they said it from our first meeting as a senior class. Like, they don't want to be the senior class that doesn't win the Ivy after we've won it 5 straight years in a row. You know, like, they want to keep that going. And I think they and the rest of the team realized the magnitude of yesterday's game. And to be honest, for us, it's that way every game moving forward. I mean, there's the competition is fierce, and we have to win out in order to win the league. So it doesn't get any less important for us.
And there were four teams, Princeton and 3 other teams, that had 1 loss going into the game last night, Penn, Dartmouth, and Cornell. And now you've beaten Penn and Dartmouth on the road, and you still have to go to Cornell, which makes it a little tougher. One last thing about last night is the fact that it was broadcast on ESPNU. What does that mean to you in terms of the growth of women's lacrosse? And
yeah, it's just great when your sport, especially your team and certainly your sport, can be showcased on a national stage like that, and people can just be flipping through their TV channels and come upon a lacrosse game and see such a, you know, incredibly competitive and hard-fought and athletic battle in women's lacrosse played on national TV. So, you know, I think it's just great for the game and hope we're going to get many more opportunities in the future to showcase our sport.
And so the next step for you is a trip to Yale on Saturday. Quick turnaround. Yale out of the Ivy tournament chase, but still the idea that they're playing for a lot of pride. They would love
Absolutely.
nothing more than to beat Princeton at this point of the
Absolutely.
season. And what's the challenge there, especially in terms of having such an emotional game last night to have to turn around so quickly?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that is the challenge. It's similar to the situation we were in, when we had that big win on the road down in Florida and turned around and played Brown. And I think we've really learned over the course of this season that you can't take any Ivy League team for granted, and we certainly will not take Yale for granted. We saw how tough and competitive Harvard, came out to play against us, and we had a really close game against Harvard after having a big win over a top 10 team in Loyola a couple days before. So we know that when we play any team in the league, they're going to bring their best game, and Yale wants to play the spoiler and finish out their season on a high note too. So we'll be ready.
So your team has not actually mathematically clinched a spot in the Ivy League tournament. Would you like me to tell you all the things that have to happen for you not to get in the
No, I do not want to know any of
tournament?
those, Jerry.
It would take a lot. But your first goal is to win the league championship, which is the regular season championship.
Yes.
The only way you don't get into the league tournament, by the way, is you have to lose your last two. Brown has to win its last two, which means Brown would then have to beat Cornell. Which means Cornell would have to beat Dartmouth. Penn would have to win because you need Penn to get to 5-2. You need all those teams to be 5-2, and then you need Brown to be 4-3. Princeton to be 4-3. Brown beat Princeton, and Princeton would be out. So all those
You
things
are
have to
a sports standing
happen.
savant, I think, Jerry.
So you need all of those things to happen
I'm
not
not
to get
thinking
into the
about any of those.
tournament.
All I'm thinking about is Princeton beating Yale on Saturday right now.
If Princeton beats Yale, then it mathematically clinches the spot in the Ivy League tournament.
Okay,
And
there you go.
if any of those things that I just said do not happen, that's the only scenario by which you don't get into the Ivy League tournament. But two things. One is to win the league championship is the first goal. To do that, you beat Yale, then you have to go to Cornell and beat Cornell. But if you
Yeah.
do both of those things, you're guaranteed to be the number one seed in the tournament.
Yeah.
But two, neutral site this year is Columbia, so you're not playing for home field, and it figures to be a pretty balanced tournament.
Absolutely. I think this is one of the most competitive years in Ivy League lacrosse. I mean, and you've seen it with Brown beating us and Penn beating Brown by a goal and close games all around, all the way throughout. At the top, the games have been really, well fought and highly contested games. And so you can't assume, regardless of your seed,
Well, look at last
in
Saturday.
that. Right,
Harvard is sort of
absolutely.
out of it. Princeton's playing for a championship. It's 14-12. It was close the whole way.
Absolutely, absolutely. And like I said, any of these Ivy teams, they're going to get up to play Princeton every single year. And the tournament, it's brand new. No matter if it's the Ivy tournament or the NCAAs, regardless of seed, you're going in 0-0, and we all know that. I'm sure the team that wins the championship is going to be bummed that they're not going to be able to host it at their own field. But you'll be playing for a tournament championship, and happy to be wherever you are.
Are you a fan of the neutral site?
I'll let you know
After it plays out?
after it plays out. I'm a fan of you earned the right to host. I think about last year and how, and every year that we've won at home or when other teams have won at home, like that's what you play this re the regular season for, in my mind. And to be at home, it's a huge advantage to a team to go through your normal routine and play on your field and have your fans there. There's no doubt that having that, our football and men's lacrosse fans at that game last year and all their chanting and stomping and the
Bent the
crowd
bleachers.
bent, they bent the bleachers. I mean, that probably doesn't happen up at Columbia, and I think that's what you work so hard to earn. So, but we'll see how this goes, and hopefully the league will make the right decision moving forward.
So great win last night. It was an incredibly exciting game. I mean, when it got to be 11-8, and looked like Princeton might be in control, and then you get all these yellow cards, and they tie it, and they have all the momentum, and then you get these. As I said in the beginning, it's the difference between winning and losing in games like that is so subtle. It's not
Yeah.
the goal at the end is the winning goal and all that stuff, but it's the little plays that lead up to that are the difference. And you guys made all of the ones you needed to make. One more thing I just wanted to mention about last night, and so it's 12-11 Now they get a yellow card, which I predicted that they would
Yeah.
because you
Yeah.
had six and they had
Yeah.
none. So now they have a yellow card, and you're running out the clock because the yellow card's 2 minutes, and it was with like 1:38 to go. They pull their goalie out to chase, and now at what point do you? Because Catherine Hallett had the wide open goal with like maybe 50 seconds
Yeah.
left,
Yeah.
and then Tess D'Orsi had it with 30, what was it, 33 seconds
Yeah.
left, and Tess shot it. At what point do
Yeah.
you want the 2-goal lead?
I mean, she actually, so Hallett had it, and we said no, and Tess had it. Tess had, I think, one earlier, and then the second one, we're like, okay, if I were to think as soon as she scored that goal, I turned to my coaches, and I'm like, I hope we're not gonna regret that. I do believe they would have gotten the ball back and had a play potentially at the other end, and
With a 1-goal game.
yeah, with a 1-goal game. So, would that have been better to wait for 20 seconds? Yes. Left or 15 seconds left,
Noni just got the
probably.
ball anyway.
But Noni got the ball anyway, and I think at that point we were going to do whatever we needed to get the
Because I was
goal.
kind of wondering about that, because if you're up 12-11, you can conceivably run the entire clock out. You have one, they have to have their goalie chase and all that kind of stuff, and they're more likely to commit another foul than you are to turn it over at that point without being fouled. But if you do turn it over, now all of a sudden it's a scrambled situation. Everybody's like tense, and you come down the other end and they could score. Whereas if you have the 2-goal lead, the only thing is you're giving them a chance to get the
To
ball
win a
back,
draw
score,
and
and get the
score
ball back again
quickly.
and score.
Right.
But I was wondering how much time was the right time to take the goal.
Yeah, I think probably another 10 or 15 seconds would have been better at that point.
See, I
But,
would have gone. I would have, if I was Hallett with 50 seconds left, I would like take the 2-goal lead,
oh, we were shouting at her.
not to
No,
go.
very loudly. And I know Tess, as soon as she shot it, because I think we had initially for her first look shouted no, and then we're like, okay. And she was like, should I have shot that or not? And I mean, that's something that you can debate. And you just make the decision in the moment. And fortunately, Noni came up big again with the draw control.
The funny thing is when D'Orsi scored, and she had 4 goals in the game, Elizabeth George had six. When Tess scored, nobody reacted. Nobody on either team reacted. Like nobody on Princeton
I
celebrated.
think
Nobody.
Princeton, I think our kids weren't sure if they were supposed to go or not.
So
And
from where I was
so
sitting, I was like,
they were like, should she have scored or not?
because
So,
nobody reacted from where I was sitting, I thought the ball wasn't in the goal. And
I mean, we were in a yellow at that point. We weren't in a red. So a yellow to us is an empty net goal. So empty net goal shot only. So, she was okay to take that. But earlier in the possession, we certainly didn't want to take that shot.
so anyway, Princeton wins that game 13-11. Now the challenge is to go up to Yale. A quick turnaround after the emotional win. 1 o'clock?
1 o'clock, yeah.
1 o'clock in New Haven if you're going to be there. And then the doubleheader next weekend at Cornell. So that's April 27th. The men play first, correct?
Yes.
Men at noon, women at 3 at Cholcoff Field. Princeton wins its last two. It wins the sixth straight Ivy League championship. If anything other than all those things I said before happens, they'll be in the Ivy League tournament at Columbia. That's the following week, first weekend in May, and we will be back next week to see where all these things stand. Coach, congratulations on the win last night, and good luck this weekend.
Thanks, Jerry.
For Princeton Women's Lacrosse Coach Chris Saylor, I'm Jerry Price. Thank you for being with us here on The Chris Saylor Show, and thank you for your continued support of Princeton Women's Lacrosse.